this is January. We just entered into 2014. And many of us, many churches, many believers seek God for vision for the year in January. Many of us are fasting in this season. Many pastors have a congregational fast going on so that as a people, we can hear from the Father concerning the year and what it is that he wants us to do. And so with that in mind, I just want to share a few things with you for 2014. I don't know if I'll get through all my points, but we'll get through whatever we get through tonight, and I believe that you'll be blessed. So the first thing I want to tell you is Happy New Year, and I pray God's blessings upon your life, that that you would be able to experience everything the Father wants you to experience this year. And the best way to do that is to get out of the way. For those of you that are born again, that are Christians, that have been hearing what God is saying throughout the body of Christ lately, then you would know that in 2013, God did a lot of teaching through many people on his abundant, amazing, immeasurable, and undeserved grace. And there's been so much teaching on grace, and I believe that it's because the Father wants us to get to the point to where we acknowledge him in all things, in all ways, in all areas, because for too long, many of us have been too focused on ourselves, on our ability, on our faults, on our flaws, our failures, our frailties. And there has, simply put, there hasn't been enough God in our lives. And when we get a message of grace and we understand that God blesses us, not because we're so good, not because we've done everything right, but because he's so good and because he planned to do it before the foundations of the world, really, that gives God all the glory. That puts the glory where it rightly belongs, and that's on God. And that puts the spotlight of our lives where it rightly really needs to be, and that's on God as well. See, God wrote a plan for our lives before the foundations of the world. And as people read our life story, God wants to be the star on every page. And when we submit ourselves to him, we allow him to shine through us. He can get the glory out of our life and out of our living. With that being the backdrop, this prevailing message of grace, let's get into the message tonight. So tonight I want to talk about seeking God for vision for the new year, for 2014. You want to seek God for vision for 2014. Well, number one, the first point I'll make is that God made plans for you before the world began. So if you want to seek God for vision for 2014 and you understand that God made plans for you before the foundations of the world, then really what that helps you to understand is that what you want to do is find out what God already planned for you for 2014. You want this to be revealed. So you're not trying to develop it. You're trying to discover it. You're not trying to come up with what to do in 2014. You're trying to discover what the Lord wants you to do in 2014. Why? Because when you do it that way and you make him Lord and you put him where he rightly deserves to be, and that's in first place, then what happens is you submit to his kingdom plans and purposes. And when you align with him, when you die to self and you allow his plans to be first place, then you experience his blessing like never before. So first thing is that God made plans for you before the foundations of the world. Let me tell you that God called you by his grace. The Apostle Paul is a great example of a man that was called by grace. We know that the Apostle Paul, before he was born again, before he started serving the Lord, he was actually persecuting the church. He was the last person you would think that would wind up leading the New Testament church. He was actually coming up against the church. He was a terrorist against the church. He was like the Osama bin Laden against Christians. He was having Christians persecuted and burnt at the stake and killed and tortured. This man was enemy number one against the church and against the cause of Christ. And God called him by grace, not because he was doing everything right, not because he was dotting every I and crossing every T, not because he was so holy. No, God called him because God made plans for him before the foundations of the world. Let's see what Paul said. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to pick it up at verse 11. Paul said this about himself. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the gospel message that I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received this message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ." Paul was saying, listen, I wasn't there when Jesus cast out a legion of demons out of this man in the land of Gad and threw them into ordered them to go into a herd of swine. I wasn't there when he took a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000. I wasn't there when he stopped the funeral procession and raised this boy back to the life. I wasn't there when Lazarus's body was dead and stinking and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of there looking like a mummy. Jesus did all these things with the disciples, and they were called to be apostles of the New Covenant, New Testament church. But Paul was also called. He didn't have the opportunity to walk with Jesus while Jesus was walking in the earth, but Paul did have a visitation from Jesus himself. So he says, listen, I didn't get this from anybody else, not from a human source. I got it from Jesus himself. Verse 13, and you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church, and I did my best to destroy it. He's saying, listen, don't get it twisted. You know how jacked up I was. I mean, if anybody has the right to praise God, if anybody should be on their knees thanking God every day, it's me, because you know how I lived before I was born again. Verse 14, I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But verse 15 separates it all. He says, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. He says, listen, even though I did all these things wrong, even though I was on the wrong side of God for many years of my life, even though I thought I was doing the right thing, but I was doing the wrong thing and I was persecuting God and I was fighting against the person I was supposed to be with, even though I did all of that wrong, God has revealed to me that he called me, he chose me before I was born. He chose me from my mother's womb by his grace, not because I deserved it, not because I've earned it, not because I've done anything right, not because I was doing the right thing, but because of his undeserved grace, he called me. Verse 16, then it pleased him to reveal his son in me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. Look at this great assignment God has given me. God has called me a Jew raised as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And then he sends me out to non-Jews to preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And when this happened, verse 16, when this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. The King James says, I did not consult with flesh and blood. He's saying, listen, when it was revealed to me that God called me to preach the gospel and I knew how jacked up I was, when it was revealed to me that God called me to preach the gospel and I knew all the things that I'd done wrong, when it was revealed to me that God called me to preach the gospel and I knew that nobody would believe it, I didn't even consult with flesh and blood. I didn't go out and have a consultation with human beings and ask them, is it okay for me to preach? Because I know that they were going to disqualify me from what God had already qualified me for. Listen, let me tell you, if you're listening, God called you from the foundations of the world by his amazing and undeserved grace. And when he reveals to you what his plan is for your life, for Paul, it was preaching the gospel. For me, it's preaching the gospel. But for you, it could be something else. Maybe you're called to be a lawyer. Maybe you're called to be a doctor, a brick mason, a mechanic. Whatever it is that you're called to do, whatever it is that you're assigned to do, the Father has called you from the foundations of the world, from your mother's womb, to do something. And when he reveals to you what you're supposed to be doing, maybe as a comedian like Tanya Lewis, but whatever it is that he's called you to do, you don't have to have a consultation with flesh and blood, and don't go to people that you know don't have like precious faith, because these people would attempt to get you to put a no where God has put a yes. God called you, and your job is to say yes to God. Faith is not you just coming up with something and asking God to put a yes on your plans. Faith is about dying to self, about submitting unto God and allowing God, allowing you, you saying, God, you're the Lord of my life. So you submit to God and you put a yes on his plans. When Paul when the Lord told Paul that he was called to preach the gospel, I'm sure that Paul felt inadequate. I'm sure that Paul felt terrible about the way he was living before. I'm sure that Paul was thinking, well, why me? What have I done to deserve this? But all Paul had to do was put a yes on God's yes. It wasn't that, but God wasn't asking him to earn it. God wasn't asking him to deserve it. God wasn't asking him to do everything right. God was just asking him to say yes. And so God is saying that same thing to you right now. God called you, assigned you from the foundations of the world, and he's not asking you to do everything right. He called you by grace. It's undeserved, it's unmerited, it's unearned. You can't earn grace. If it could be earned, then it wouldn't be grace. God's saying, I called you by grace. I'm ready to bless you by grace. I want to bless you, not because you're so good, but because I'm so good. Not because you've done everything right, but because Jesus did everything right for you. I love you with an everlasting love, and I want to reveal my son through you, and I can do it if you'll let me do it. Now, you may be saying, wait a minute, hold on, Rick. What you just read, Galatians 1, 11 through 16, that was about Paul. That was Paul giving his testimony. But watch it. Paul, that same Paul, wrote to his son Timothy, and he wrote something that exposes to us that would apply to him also applies to us. Let me read it for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. In 2 Timothy, the last letter that he ever wrote before he died, 2 Timothy, he wrote in chapter 1, verse 9, this is what Paul said about God. He says, God saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul is saying that what happened for him happens for us, all of us. God saved us. If you're a born again believer and you're saved, say, I'm saved. So if you're a born again believer and you're saved, that's fine. You're saved. But Jesus didn't just die so that you could miss hell. Jesus didn't just die so that you could have fire insurance. Jesus died for you to be saved, but he also called you with that salvation. So you're saved, but you're also called. The Bible says with what? With a holy calling. See, he's a holy God, and we serve a holy God who's in the business of making holy garments out of flawed material. This holy God chooses to operate up with us and in us and with us and through us, even though we're not holy all the time, even though we're not perfect, even though that we mess up more times than we want to talk about, we mess up more times than we want to acknowledge. God called us with the holy calling so that our life could be about something that's bigger than us, so that our life could be about something that's bigger than me and my four and no more. Our life has to be bigger than just going to work and making some money. Our life has to be bigger than just driving a nice car and living in a nice house. Come on. Our life has to be bigger than just sucking in air and blowing out air. You are not on this planet to just suck in and blow out air. You are not on this planet to work a 9-to-5. You are not on this planet to just make a bunch of money. You are on this planet because God brought you forth when he brought you forth, where he brought you forth, through whom he brought you forth, for such a time as this. You was born when you were born, where you were born, why you were born, how you were born, because of the hand of God. You are not a mistake. God brought you forth for such a time as this, and he called you with a holy calling, the Bible says, not according to your own works. Watch this. He didn't even call you because you did everything right. He didn't even call you because you've been praying every day for an hour. He didn't even call you because you've been in every Bible study since you've been saved. God didn't call you because you always go to church and do everything right. God didn't call you because you've been in the Word every second of every day. God called you by his grace. He says he didn't call you according to your own works, not because of what you did wrong and not because of what you did right. God called you according to his own purpose and grace. He gives you the purpose. He gives you the grace for the purpose. He gives you the assignment. He gives you the grace for the assignment. He tells you what to do, and then he gives you the power to do it. He would never tell you to do something without having already given you the power to do it before the foundations of the world. When God tells you to do something, when God reveals something to you that it's his will for you to do something in the earth, then the fact that he's telling you to do it is already evidence that he's giving you the grace to accomplish it. Let me say it another way. His instruction is always equal to his injection, meaning that whatever he instructs you to do is whatever he's already injected you with. So if he tells you to go do something. If he tells you to start the business, it's because the business is already in you. If he tells you to go preach the gospel, it's because the word is already in you. If he tells you to go to that interview, it's because the favor is already there. He is telling you to do something because he gives you the purpose. He also gives you the grace for the purpose. And the Bible says, and this grace and the purpose was given us in Christ Jesus. When, Rick? Before the world began. He gave it to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let me say it like this. God finished you before you ever got started. In the natural, here I live in Virginia right now. So in Virginia, in the city that I live in, I'm sure that here in Prince William County, they have some type of laws and rules. And so if you wanted to build a building in this county, that the county won't let you start the building of the structure until you finish it. What do I mean? The county is going to require you to bring in the plans, and they want to see finished plans before you ever get started. So you can't start building until you finish. You can't even start until you finish the plan in your mind, until you finish the plan on paper. And God is saying that you didn't even get started until you were already finished. You are not a mistake. You are here because I brought you here. You are here because I made a plan for your life. You are here because I already finished you before the foundations of the world. I made plans for you. I know what the plans are. But the problem is that you were born into this world under the curse of Adam because of one man. The Bible says sin entered the world and death reigned through sin. And so because of Adam, we were born devoid of the Holy Spirit, and we were born devoid of purpose. The purpose is already established for us. We just didn't know what it was. And so when we're born again, we get in a position to where we can hear from God, and we'll deal with that tonight. And then one more verse on this. I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But before I read Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Before I read Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, let me tell you this. For you to understand this verse, you have to understand that God is not in time. God is in eternity, and we are in time. We're in time. He's in eternity. God is outside of time. We're governed by time. He's not governed by time because he can't be governed by something that he made. So God made time. He's not governed by time. He's outside of time because he's God. And so he's in eternity, and we're in time. So when God reveals something to you, it's already done in eternity. It just hasn't happened in time. And so Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, Ecclesiastes 3 is a chapter where Solomon is teaching about time. He says there's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time for this and a time for that. And so while he's teaching on time, he shifts in verse 11 and he reminds us that God is not in time, that God is in eternity. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. The Amplified Bible says, talking about God, he, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. And he, God, has also planted eternity. He's in eternity. We're in time. But he planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Watch this. He says that I'm in eternity and you're in time. I'm in eternity and you're in time. And I'm going to take my divine plans for your life out of eternity and plant them in your heart and in your mind in time, so that you would not be satisfied until you find, follow, and finish them. You would not be satisfied. See, I'm not satisfied. I know that God has planted something in my heart. God has planted something in my mind out of eternity, and he's planted it in time. And so I am not satisfied until I find, follow, and finish that purpose. I have found it, now I'm following it, and I will not be satisfied until I finish it. And so when I'm facing something, I know that this is not the end of me, because there's something bigger on the inside of me that tells me that this is not the end of me, that I'm bigger than this. I was talking to a person today at church, and he came to rededicate his life to Christ. And he shared with me that he was born again when he was 12 years old, and that here he is now 20 something years old. His mother died in 2004, and his life went basically spiraling out of control. And so he's a backslider. He was a backslider until today. And he lived out there and he was not fulfilling God's plan for his life. And although he was born again, although God loved him and he knew he loved God, he was not living like a child of God for many years. And so I asked him a couple of things. I said, well, you know, you were born again when you were 12. So the Holy Spirit has been with you this whole time. So at what point while you was out there doing what you were doing, and I'm not going to share what he did, but, you know, you can there were some things that he did that just were not godly. And so I said, at what point did the Holy Spirit leave? And he looked at me and he said, he never left. And I said, of course not. He would never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because God, Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Ephesians 1 and 13 says that after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God with which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, listen, God loves you with an everlasting love. And once you're born again, the Holy Spirit is there and he's not going to leave. So sometimes some believers act crazy. Some believers get outside, and this is why it's so important to be under the teaching and be connected to a local church, and I'm going to deal with that here in a few minutes. But some believers are not connected to a church. Some believers don't have a prophetic word. Some believers don't have somebody speaking revelation into their heart, and so some believers go astray. But while they're out there doing what they're doing, I mean, you could be out there smoking weed. You could be out there drinking, committing fornication in the club, shooting up heroin, doing all kinds of stuff, but the Holy Spirit is there the whole time, and he's reminding you that God placed eternity down in your heart and in your mind, this divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy, so that the Holy Spirit is reminding you that this is not the end of you. The Holy Spirit is reminding you that you're bigger than this, that that's not what you were born again for, that that's not what you're in this planet for, that you're not fulfilling your purpose when you're living that way. And so this young man came back and he repented and he got back on God's path for his life. And so he's yoked back up to the path that God has called him and destined and designed and desired for him to be. And if that's you and you're listening to this and you're backsliding, you know you're not living right, and you know that God has great plans for your life because he placed eternity down in your heart and you haven't been living in accordance with those plans, then don't beat yourself up. Repent. Just repent. Tell the Lord that you're sorry, that you know that he loves you with an everlasting love. Receive forgiveness from God. Forgive yourself. And keep it moving. Keep it moving. Go forward ever, backward never, because the Lord wants to do things in your life, and he can't fully operate when you won't cooperate with him. Now we're talking about receiving vision for the year. Listen, so I'm going to share some things. Now I'm telling you that he placed this eternity down in your heart. Now what you have to do is find out what that is. It's not like God didn't write it. It's not like God didn't say it. It's not like God didn't plant it. But you have to take the time to die to self. You have to take the time to crucify the flesh. This is why fasting is so important. As for those of us that are fasting right now, you have to take the time to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him so that you can find out what he's called you to do. Psalms 139 and 16, the Bible says, like an open book. This is from the Message Bible translation. Psalms 139, 16, like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I ever lived one day. Listen, all the days of your life were all prepared before you ever lived one day. So when God speaks to you, he's speaking in the eternal now. When God speaks to you, he's always going to speak to your to be stage, not your right now stage. That's why God will look at a coward and call him a champion. That's why God will look at a man who never had kids and call him a father of many nations. That's why God will look at a virgin and call her the mother of our Lord. God will look at you and he always speaks to your to be stage because he's speaking in the eternal now, because God knows everything. He calls the end from the beginning. God looks at you, and when he looks at you, he's not looking at what you're doing. He's not looking at what you're doing wrong. He's not looking at all the mistakes that you have. He's looking at his purpose. See, when Satan looks at you, he sees sin. When God looks at you, he sees his son. And when God looks at you, he sees the purpose that he has implanted down in your heart. He's looking at you. He's seeing your children and your children's children. And so God is dealing with you according to his plans for your life. That's why God is always speaking life and not death, blessing and not cursing. That's why God is always dealing with you. And he's speaking to your to be stage, and your job is to receive it. Your job is to say yes. My desire is that you would die to self in this season, that you would put down the plate, that you would seek God in prayer and fasting, that you would open up your ears to hear what the Lord has called you to do. And as he reveals all these great plans for your life, listen, they're going to be big plans. Why? Because if you come up with it, it'll be too small for God. But if God comes up with it, it will be too big for you. See, God's plans always require supernatural involvement. God's plans will always require supernatural provision. God's plans for your life are always going to be bigger than your checkbook. God's plans for your life are always going to be bigger than your education. God's plans for your life are always going to be bigger than your last name, bigger than your connections, bigger than anything that you could do on your own. And God says, I don't need you to work it out. I just need you to believe. Will you believe today? Will you believe tonight? Open up your heart, believe God, and receive everything that he's called you to do. See, purpose cannot be developed because God developed it before the world began. Purpose must be discovered. My prayer for you is that in this season, as you're praying for 2013, that God will reveal to you what he's already given you before the foundations of the world, that you would say yes to that and that you would make an alignment with your assignment. See, powerful things happen when there's an alignment with your assignment. Number two, God will reveal his plans to you, but he will do it in a way that is incremental and progressive. So listen, if we have already dealt with the fact that God called you before the foundations of the world and your purpose is fixed and established, that means that your purpose is already documented in heaven and your purpose is not going to change. But his vision, the vision he allows you to see concerning that purpose, is incremental and is progressive. What do I mean? I mean that God is not going to tell you everything. While he already documented everything, while everything has already been documented in heaven concerning your life, he's not going to show it all to you all at once. Well, there's many reasons, but let me just give you a real simple reason. Because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. God knows that what you can handle, and he knows what you can't handle. You're not going to be able to handle everything that he's already planned for your life. So what he does is he gives you enough vision to be able to see enough to maximize the season that you're in. So I do believe that God will give us enough vision to maximize 2014. He may not show you what's going to happen in 2024, 2034, but he will show you enough for you to maximize the season that you're in right now, which is 2014. He gives you vision that is incremental, and then there's also vision that's progressive. How is it progressive? Well, the more you walk with God, the more you're able to see. I've been walking with God for about 18, 19 years, and I'm able to see more now than I could see in the past. The more you walk with God, the more he'll allow you to see. He gives you this vision, this insight, this revelation from God. And this revelation, it helps you to stay focused. It helps to restrain you. Say restrain you. It helps to restrain you. Let me share with you what I mean. Proverbs 29 and 18, in the King James, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. The NIV of that translation says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. So what the Bible is saying, that where there is no revelation, where people are not hearing from God, where people are not getting revelation, hearing from God from another level, from what he planned for us to have before the foundations of the world, when you have somebody that's not hearing from God, that person has no restraint. But when you have somebody that is hearing from God, then those people are restrained. Let me give you an example of what I mean. So you ever met somebody that is always trying something new, like every couple of months? You meet them, they don't know where they're going. So they're always trying to come up with something new. And so they come to you and be like, oh, girl, let me tell you about this thing right here. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, God showed me this and you really need to get on it. It's a business opportunity. Listen, it is only going to cost you $500 to get in. I'm telling you, we're going to make a lot of money this year. You need to get in on this. And so, and they tell you that the Holy Spirit told them to do it. And they tell you that some prophet told them to do it and all this kind of mess. But God hasn't told you to get involved. So you tell them, no, it's okay. God didn't show it to me. And then you know how some church people are, right? You got to watch out for church people because church people are pushy. And they'll get mad at you because you're not jumping on their bandwagon. Listen, how about you just do you and you let me do me? I know what a God called me to do. So don't try to put your vision on me because I'm only going to run my race and I only have the grace to run my race. So let me run my race with my grace and you run your race with your grace. I don't have your grace. You don't have my grace. So don't try to run my race. I'm not going to try to run yours. But the people that have no restraint, they're always trying something new. You'll see that person 3 months later. And you say, hey, girl, how you doing, girl? You know, so how's that thing going? And what do you mean? What you talking about? Well, you know, that thing you talked to me about back in January. Oh, girl, no, that didn't happen. That didn't work out. But this is what I'm doing right now. And now they're on to the next thing. And then they'll be on to the next thing. Why? Because they're not hearing from God. And all they're trying to do is come up with stuff on their own. And they're dibbling and dabbling in a bunch of stuff, hoping that they're going to hit something, hoping that something is going to stick. But those of us that are hearing from God don't live that way. We're restrained. The Bible says where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Well, the opposite means the people that have revelation from God, that are hearing from the Father, are restrained. Jesus didn't do everything. He was focused on doing what he was called to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing. Paul said, everything is permissible for me. This is NIV. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And the Message Bible says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, then I'd be a slave to my whims. I'm not just going to do anything and everything. I'm only going to do what I have a vision to do. Let me give you an example, a modern day practical example. It's January. So in January, I don't know what's up with sisters, right? But the women in the church in January, a lot of them, they hear from the Holy Ghost on this one, but they always got a vision to lose weight, right? And they get a vision to get down, you know, 2, 3, 4 sizes. You know, they could be a size 16 and they seeing themselves in a size 4. But let's say, for example, that a sister is a size 12 and she sees herself in a size 6. And so she's saying she got a vision from God and she's believing God to lose weight and she's seeing that size 6. She might even go to the store, go to JCPenney, get a size 6 dress on sale, put it up in her bathroom just so she could see it every day so she could keep that vision before her, right? Now, I'm saying this and it's kind of funny, but it's serious. Let's say she does get a vision for that size 6 and she sees herself in a size 6, then if she keeps the vision before her, the vision is going to restrain her. And she's not going to do everything. She's not going to eat everything. She's not going to stop at McDonald's. She's not going to eat those chips because the vision will restrain her to only eat the things that are going to get her into that size 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. Once again, everything is permissible, but everything is not beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I'm not going to be mastered by everything, right? So just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. So let me give you an example. Let's say that same sister who has a vision for a size 6 and right now she's in the size 12, she gets invited to go to a fellowship after church and they go into Golden Corral. Uh-oh. So now they get into Golden Corral. And you know, church people like to eat. So they get into Golden Corral and you pay whatever, I don't know. I haven't been to Golden Corral in years, so I don't know what you pay now. Maybe it's $9.99. I don't know. So let's say she pays $9.99 and she gets a ticket. And the ticket means paid in full, right? That means that everything on the bar is paid for. That means she has a legal right. She has legal access to everything on the food bar, to all the whatever, 60 items or whatever on the bar, everything on the dessert menu. She has a legal right to eat it. And she can eat as much as she physically can. She can pig out. She can eat as much as she can. But the Bible says where there's no revelation, the people will cast off restraint. Where there's no vision, people will cast off restraint. See, now if she keeps the vision of the size six before her, she's not going to eat what she's not supposed to eat. If she keeps the vision of the size six before her, she will be restrained and she's not going to eat everything. She's going to eat some salad. She's going to eat some low fat protein. She's going to eat the right thing. She's going to stay away from the dessert bar. Why? Because the vision is there. Now, I like to say jokingly, where there is no vision, in this case, the food will perish, right? If she has no vision, if she forgets about the vision of the size six, she's going to go in there and tear up some stuff. And then she'll never be able to get into the size six. This is what I'm talking about. If God has given you a vision of his purpose for your life, then that vision has to restrain you. You can't do everything. You can't be like everybody else. You need to run your race with your grace. Understand that if you keep the vision before you, it will restrain you. It will restrain you. Watch this. It might mean when you keep the vision before you, it might mean that you need to let some people go. It might mean that you can't hang around some of the people you've been hanging around with before. It might mean that some of the people you hung around with in 2013, you got to let them go in 2014. It might mean that you need to start reading some books instead of watching so much TV. It might mean that you need to go to the gym instead of stopping at McDonald's every day on the way home from work. It might mean that you got to make some changes and you will be restrained so that you can be the man, the woman that God has called and destined and designed and desires for you to be. God called you from the foundations of the world. He'll reveal it to you, but then you have to make the decisions that line up with that. Say amen to that. All right, number three, let me give you an example of Jesus. Jesus was spirit-led 24/7, and we're supposed to be spirit-led as well. Jesus was continually hearing from the Father. We need to hear from the Father. Let me just give you a bunch of scriptures on this. John chapter 5, 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all things that he himself does." And he will show him even greater works than these that you may marvel. Remember, Jesus was saying, I only say those things I hear my Father say. I only do those things I see my Father do. He said, I'm the Son, and the Son does nothing without the Father. He was God, and if he lived this way, we're supposed to live this way. We're not supposed to just go around doing stuff on our own. We're supposed to do what we're graced to do. And we can only even know what we're graced to do when we're hearing from the Father, when we're getting revelation from him, when we have vision, not only for 2014, but vision for the rest of our lives, when we're seeking God concerning what to do and what not to do. John 5 and 30. I can, Jesus said, of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He said, listen, as I hear, I make judgment. I'm making righteous judgment because I'm not the one making the judgment. The Father is giving me what to say. He's telling me how to judge. He's telling me how to make decisions. My decisions are blessed because they're holy decisions. My decisions are blessed because I'm getting decisions from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling me what to decide. Therefore, my decisions are always blessed. John 6 and 38, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You and I are supposed to be doing the will of the one who sent us. And that's God. John 12 and 49, Jesus said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a command. He told me what I should say and what I should speak. He told me what I should say and what I should speak. You and I can be connected to the Holy Spirit to the point where he will give us what to say, what to speak. He'll tell us what to say. He'll command us what to speak. John 14 and 10, Jesus said, don't you believe that I'm in the Father? The Father's in me. The words that I say, they're not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who does the work. Watch this. He says, the Father, he gives me the words. The Father, He does the work. The Father, He gives me the words. The Father, He does the work. You and I can live the same way. We can go to work and we can whistle while we work. Why? Because we know that it's the Father who gives us the words and it's the Father who gives us the work. The Father tells us what to do and He manifests Himself in our lives. He tells us, He will cause us to speak things, to speak supernatural things, to make supernatural declarations, and then He'll back it up with His favor and increase in supernatural manifestation because He'll tell us what to say and then He'll manifest it. He'll come right behind and He will back up everything that we said because He was the one that gave us the words. Amen. Number four, as we begin to wrap this up, number four, being connected to the right church. Listen, if you really want to hear from God, you want to have vision, insight, revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, you want to know what God called you to do for 2014 and beyond, you need to be connected to the right church. It does matter where you go to church. Being connected to the right church and hearing the right word is critical. A lot of us quote Hosea 4 and 6. Hosea 4 and 6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I've also rejected you, and that there shall be no priest among you. And seeing that you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children." Now, that's really a hard verse to understand if you don't understand the context. I'm going to read this to you in the Message Bible, and let me give you a little bit of context. I'm going to pick it up in verse 1, and we're going to read from verses 1 through 7 in the Message Bible. The Bible says, "Attention all Israelites, God's message. God indicts the whole population. No one is faithful. No one loves. No one knows the first thing about God. All this cussing and lying and killing and theft and loose sex, sheer anarchy, one murder after another." Listen what God was saying. The man of God stood up, Hosea, and says, listen what's going on. All these people, nobody's hearing from God. Nobody's operating in love. Nobody even knows God. It's a bunch of cursing and lying and killing and loose sex and just murder one after another. Verse 3, "And because of all of this, the very land itself weeps and everything is grief-stricken. Animals in the fields and birds on the wing, even the fish in the sea are listless and lifeless." My God, he's saying it's so bad that the fish in the sea barely have any life in them. Verse 4, "But don't look for someone to blame. No finger pointing. You, the priest, you're the ones on the dock." God blamed the priest. He says, "You stumble." Verse 5, "You stumble around in broad daylight, and then the prophets take over and stumble all night." He's saying the priest and the prophets are stumbling. The priest and the prophets are not preaching the word of God. Verse 6, "Many people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true." They don't know what's right or true because there's no prophetic word that's coming forth. "Because they turn their back on knowledge, I've turned my back on the priest. And because you refuse to recognize the revelation of God, I'm no longer recognizing your children." Verse 7, "The more priests, the more sin. And they've traded their glory for shame." Listen to this. What he was saying is that since no prophets, no priests were preaching, in modern times, it would be the fivefold ministry. Because there's no fivefold ministry gift that's preaching, that's releasing a prophetic word in your life. You want to know why these old men are sleeping with little kids, and you want to know why you got people out here doing all kind of crazy mess today? Because nobody is releasing a prophetic word in their ear. They're not submitted to the word of God. They're not submitted to the voice of God. They need to be somewhere where you need to be somewhere. I need to be somewhere where we're hearing a word from God on a regular basis, where we're hearing what God is saying, because there's levels and levels to the word of God. You want to hear vision from God? You need to be submitted unto an anointed man, anointed woman of God, because while they're preaching the logos, the Holy Spirit will speak to you a word behind the word. You'll be able to hear the voice behind the voice. Where there's no prophetic word coming forth, you already read in Hosea how jacked up the word can be, and you don't want to be that way. You want to submit yourself to hear from God on a regular basis. You want to get yourself in church. Your kids need to say that you as a parent have a drug problem. You drug them to church. You need to get your kids in church. You get in church and you submit yourself to this man or woman of God, whoever God has called you and knitted you together to hear. And you hear what God is saying through them. And then you get yourself in the word and you spend time in prayer and fasting. And you seek God concerning your own life so that you could be the man and woman that God has called and destined and designed and desired for you to be. Listen, I'm almost out of time. So let me wrap this up by telling you this. God has given you everything He was going to give you before the foundations of the world by His grace. Your job is to find out what He's already given you by grace and then access the grace through faith. See, many believers live in frustration because they're making a demand on God for something that's not theirs to have. I run into believers like this all the time. They grab something out of the air, or they hear a testimony from somebody else and they say, well, that's mine, and therefore God has to give it to me. And they put an in Jesus name on the end of their confession, or they add a one scripture, two scriptures, and they think that God has to do what they're saying. Listen, who are you to tell God what to do? Faith is not you telling God what to do. See, frustration sets in when you're trying to make God do something that is not for yours already. You need to find out what God already gave you before the foundations of the world. And when you do that, then you can exercise faith to put a yes on God's plans and not the other way around. See, faith is you submitting to God's will. Faith is you putting a yes on God's plans. See, revelation of God's plans and purposes positions you to operate in faith. And by faith, you can access the grace. And see, when you really understand grace, then you know that grace takes the focus off of you. Grace puts the focus on God, and grace positions you to operate in the supernatural. Because when you die to self and you get out of the way, then God can flow in your life like never before. You will see the supernatural manifest. Let me give you some closing thoughts here. When you find Jesus, you find yourself. Before I came to Jesus, I thought I knew who I was. I was smelling myself, but I didn't know Jack. But when I came to Jesus, when I found him, I found myself. See, when you find yourself, you're able to discover your purpose. Remember, you can't develop your purpose. You must discover your purpose because God developed it before the world began. And when you discover your purpose, then you position yourself to receive incremental vision from God. God is not going to tell you everything, but he will give you vision in increments. And that incremental vision, he gives you enough for you to see to be able to maximize the season that you're in. And when you walk in accordance with that incremental vision, that God-given vision, then you will experience divine provision and divine favor. I'm talking about supernatural increase, provision. God will open doors that no man can close, close doors that no man can open. God has a million ways to get you $1 million. God will give you divine provision and then favor. God will raise up people to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you in ways that you cannot help yourself. And so last couple of things, let me tell you that if the vision came from God, then the provision will come from God. If he gives you the vision, he's obligated to give you the provision. Why? Because if it's his will, then it's also his bill. But if the vision came from God, the opposition will come from Satan. Listen, don't think that when God gives you a vision that everything is going to be hunky-dory, you're not going to face any challenges. You're going to face lots of opposition. But instead of getting discouraged because of the opposition, get encouraged. Because satanic opposition is proof that you're heading down the right road. It's proof that you're doing the will of God. It's proof that you're walking in accordance with God's kingdom plans and purposes for your life. And see, what Satan means to do, he's trying to destroy you, but he's actually helping to validate your assignment. And I like to say this, the only way you can lose is if you quit. It's not that you're not going to face challenges. You're going to face challenges. You're an overcomer. How are you going to be an overcomer if you don't ever have anything to come over? How are you going to experience supernatural power if you never have any challenges? How are you going to experience the supernatural if you never face any opposition? So listen, when you do face opposition, you're just going to come out on top. When you're born again, it's not that you're not going to face anything. It's just that you're going to win. And so you cannot quit, though. The only way you can lose is if you quit. So if you are facing something and it doesn't look like you're winning, then obviously it's not over. So I'm out of time. So let me just tell you this. Let me share a couple of things with you about myself, about my ministry. I send out a daily devotional every day called Today's Word. If you're interested in that, you can go to todaysword.org. That's todaysword.org. Sign up and you'll get a daily devotional from me. If you speak Spanish and you want it in Spanish, we do that in Spanish as well. palabradeldia.org. And so we send out a daily devotional in English and Spanish. And then Rick Pina Ministries, if you want to check that out, that's rickpina.org, rickpina.org. Please visit our site. We have lots of information. We even have an app that's available for Android and Apple iOS and Windows Mobile. And you can download the app, lots of content there. And we just pray that it will be a blessing to you. From my family to yours, I pray that the Lord will bless you richly this year in 2014, that you would experience God's increase like never before, that you would hear from God, that you would be able to receive that insight, that wisdom, that revelation, that knowledge and understanding, and then you then would make decisions to line up with those plans so that you could be the man or woman that God has called you to be for this year, so that this year would be the best year of your life. I believe I'm out of time. Let me see if Tanya Lewis wants to get back on here. If not, I'm about to pray for you. Okay, well, Tanya, let me pray. Let me just pray for them real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Father, I thank you for every person that's listening. I pray that you would open up their eyes and their ears this year, even in this season, that you would flood their light, their eyes with your light, divine light, that they would be able to see what you want them to see for this season, to maximize this season. You're not going to show them everything concerning their lives, but that you would just start to reveal your purpose and plans for their lives, that you destined for them to have before the foundations of the world, and then that you would show them what you want them to do in this season so that they could be the men that you called them to be, the women that you called them to be, so that they could maximize this season, and that 2014, I'm praying, would be the best year of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you for being on the show. I'll definitely go ahead and post that link again so everyone that didn't have the opportunity to listen can listen. So thank you for coming on today, and you definitely have to come back and join us. We're going to go ahead and end the show today with a quick commercial break. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you. God bless you.